WBEZ is launching a new weekly arts newsletter. It's called The Green Room. And each Thursday, you get our picks for what's happening in Chicago, on stage, in galleries, and behind the scenes. Subscribe at WBEZ.org/greenroom.
What's up, Chicago? I'm Erin Allen, and this is The Rundown. So last year, the Chicago City Council passed an ordinance that requires the president of the CTA, Dorval Carter, to show up for public hearings every 3 months. Before that, they had been requesting that he attend, but he wasn't coming. When I found that out, I was like, oh, he is about to get some tongue lashings at these hearings. And that he did.
The first thing to do is to acknowledge that the CTA has a problem, not its riders.
At the most recent hearing in February, several people stepped up to the mic during the public comment period.
3 weeks ago, I helped my fellow CTA riders and a train operator stop a man from continuing to assault people on my Red Line train car.
Some people simply voiced their concerns.
For several years, my wife and I lived in Pilsen, and I rode the 60 bus frequently. It would not come on time, or it just wouldn't come at all. It was on the schedule, but it just wasn't there.
In the morning when you wake up, and it's piss in the seat, or you find a pile of feces in the back area back there.
Other people were just angry.
Leaders don't ride the CTA. The CTA is being run by people who are not riders.
So many people wanted to speak that they extended the time for public comment.
We are sounding the alarm because we care. We love the CTA. We love Chicago. And we want you to succeed. That's why we're here.
Okay, definitely some passionate people at these meetings, but me and the Rundown producer, Justin Bull, were wondering how people would talk about their experience mid-commute. So a few days ago, Justin went downtown to a couple train stops to ask riders how things were going for them.
I think the service is decent, but we definitely need more trains. There are times, especially on Wednesdays, where I have to let at least one train pass me by because we're crammed in there like sardines. But otherwise, I think some of the other lines, like the blue line, I have a coworker that takes that. She says it's an absolute nightmare. So I feel a little lucky with the brown and purple line.
How's your experience riding the CTA been?
Generally pretty good, but the issue is sometimes the train's like it's a 2-minute gap, and then it's like a 20-minute gap. It's the same with the buses. You have like the ghost buses. Yeah, if they fixed the tracking thing so that it actually worked on like the Ventra and Google Maps, like that would be... that'd be the biggest change for me that I'd appreciate.
So I'm down here on that Clark and Lake Blue Line station, and there are not a lot of trains. It's been about 5 minutes now, and I haven't seen one in either direction. Sounds like a train's coming right now, though. You know, are there enough trains? Trains running on time? Things feeling okay?
No, they get delayed a lot, and they run in like 20 to 30 minute intervals, so it's kind of irritating sometimes. Yeah.
But are you generally a Blue Line rider?
Not really. Only when I gotta go to work. Yeah.
My biggest problem with the CTA is it's just, A, dirty as hell, but B, like, there's just always, especially the Red Line, people just running through selling drugs all the time on the train. I mean, generally I find if you keep your head down and ignore them, you're fine, but it's like it'd be cool if I didn't have to deal with that.
It's all right. The only, like, things is, like, at night, it could be a little scary, that's the thing. It's only like at night, but it's not that bad.
Great, good to hear.
In some ways, the CTA is kind of like the weather. There's always something to talk about, right? The bottom line right now is that CTA ridership hasn't been able to return to what it was before the pandemic. Ridership in 2023 was only 60% of what it was back in 2019. And one of the reasons people aren't riding as much is because of a decrease in reliability of when buses and trains are going to show up. Earlier this week, my WBEZ colleague Amy Chin reported that while service levels have decreased at the CTA since 2020, they've been increasing for transit systems in other cities. Amy talked to Audrey Winnick, who leads transportation policy efforts at the Metropolitan Planning Council.
I'm hopeful that if we continue to improve our service delivery and the reliability and the frequency, ridership will come back.
And sluggish ridership is the main reason transit agencies in Chicago are looking at a $730 million budget gap, according to Amy's data analysis. So what has the CTA leadership done about all this so far? And what else are they going to do? To answer these questions and more, I went to an old wooden L train platform on a sunny May morning to talk to Sarah Freistadt. She's a business reporter covering transit for the Chicago Tribune. Thanks for coming out on this very unconventional recording studio we got set up. Not recording studio, we got set up out here.
I always, always love to be out on the trains. No better place to talk about the trains than here on the platform.
Ridership on the CTA has fallen pretty significantly during the pandemic, and it's really no shock. But it has not recovered for the CTA as much as it has in other cities. And I wonder if you could just briefly give an overview. Why aren't people riding the CTA these days?
In recent years, the experience of riding buses and trains has gotten a little bit more challenging than it was before the pandemic. Riders have a lot of complaints, concerns, and it takes a little bit longer to get everywhere.
There are a lot of reasons why people are angry with the CTA. Being on a train platform, let's talk about train service first. So what kind of problems are you hearing that people are having with the train service right now in May 2024?
I think one of the biggest problems I hear about, and sometimes experience as a rider also, is service. People want trains to come frequently at convenient times. They don't want to be standing on platforms waiting for a long time. And we know that service isn't at the same levels it was at before the pandemic. So
why has service been cut? Can you talk about some of the factors that have contributed to that?
So CTA has said this mostly comes down to hiring. They don't have enough train operators to run all of the trains that all of us would like them to run.
Okay.
There was a lot of turnover during the pandemic, a lot of retirements, a lot of attrition, people who just want to leave for an easier job. And CTA's had trouble getting some new operators back in the door trained. It takes a long time to train someone to drive a train.
Yeah.
And getting those staffing levels back up.
What does that look like when it comes to staffing for buses? Are they having the same troubles hiring bus drivers?
Yes. In the past year or so, they have made a lot of progress hiring bus drivers. They're still below pre-pandemic levels for bus drivers, but getting closer. Train operators have taken a little bit longer to get in the door and get those levels back up. Some of that comes down to the training process for train operators.
Okay.
It's a little different than bus drivers.
A little more intensive.
Yeah, there's a few more steps you have to do. And
yeah. Most people have driven a motor vehicle.
Yeah, I mean, listen, driving a bus is certainly not easy.
Yes.
I don't want to pretend like it is, but it's a little different than driving a train.
Yeah. What is the leadership of the CTA saying about what it's doing to kind of correct the frequency and reliability?
So it's been a journey.
Yes.
So,
pun intended. No pun intended. Yeah, well, you know what he's saying.
I try. But yeah, the first step was kind of addressing this ghosting problem.
Yeah.
The trackers were showing that a bus or a train would arrive. CTA didn't have enough staff to actually operate the scheduled buses and trains, and so that meant the schedules weren't accurate. That meant the trackers weren't accurate, and that led to this ghosting phenomenon. So the solution to that was to cut schedules so that they were, accurately reflecting how many trains and buses you can run. So the ghosting problem, anecdotally, I've heard about it a lot less. I've experienced it a lot less. But what that has meant is that we're all standing around waiting a little bit longer for trains than we used to.
Yeah. What progress has been made on the part of leadership, and what still needs to happen?
So CTA President Dorval Carter earlier this year promised to restore train service to pre-pandemic levels by the end of 2024. He said that would start in the spring with adding back bus and train service. When the spring schedules came out, we did see some more bus service on 29 out of CTA's 127 routes, but it's something.
Yes.
But we didn't really see a lot of train service added. We saw a few small improvements here and there. But we also saw you know, service get cut in other places. So I think we're all still really waiting for, like, this wholesale, you know, return of train service to come back.
So there is some construction going on right now. It's changing the sound a little bit, but we're outside, so...
Chicago in the summer, you
That's
know?
Right. So the term fiscal cliff has become a sort of turn of phrase when we talk about the CTA these days as well. What kind of financial situation is the company in?
So right now, good financial situation. In a couple years, really scary financial situation. basically, CTA has been relying on federal aid that it received during the pandemic to keep itself afloat. And that aid is going to run out. And so the big debate is, what happens then?
Do you think that's going to mean more service cuts?
So that's the threat, right? And all of the region's transit agencies are saying if nothing happens, there will be really dire, drastic service cuts. There is a lot of talk among kind of civic leaders a little bit in Springfield about trying to address that financial problem through legislation. It's pretty early stages. We don't know what's going to happen with that.
Okay. A lot of people are, you know, they're worried about the service. They're worried about reliability. There's also the issue of safety and cleanliness. What is the CTA planning to do right now to address some of those issues?
When it comes to safety, CTA has flooded the system with unarmed security guards and canines, you know, the dog teams.
Yeah.
Chicago police have boosted their presence on CTA. I certainly can't say anything about cause and effect, but we do know that violent crime on CTA did go down in 2023 from the year before. That being said, it was still significantly higher than it was pre-pandemic. In terms of cleanliness, CTA has seemingly seen an uptick in people living on trains. This is something that, you know, it's been a problem throughout the whole city. It's something that other transit agencies have experienced. Important to note that CTA has always kind of been a shelter of last resort for people, right? Especially in the winter. It's a warm place to sleep. But yeah, so CTA has put some money towards working with the city's Department of Family and Support Services to do outreach to people living on trains.
You know, we talked about this a little bit on the show before, where I asked someone, you know, another reporter, has the transit system ever worked properly? Has it ever been, you know, in pristine shape? And they said, yeah, when it first started, pretty much, and that's it. What would your answer be to that based on your reporting?
You know, I think there's a few answers to that. The first is that everyone loves to complain about transit, right? It's a part of the city. It's our, like, beloved, you know, thing that we all love to complain about.
Yes.
So definitely keep that in mind. But also, you know, if you ask, like, CTA, they will talk about historic underfunding. They'll, you know, talk about how they've never had enough money to do what they want to do. I know there have been a lot of conversations. This is not the first fiscal cliff CTA is talking about facing. Definitely service has been better than it is now.
Yeah.
But,
a lot of people would talk about the CTA's problems in the context of the city's problems. You know, they say that the CTA is just a microcosm of what is happening in the city. Same thing with people who are unhoused. I mean, so many of the issues that you can kind of zoom in and focus in on, people would say are a part of a larger conversation. How does that land for you? How would you talk about that?
Yeah, so I think it's really important to remember that a lot of these problems are big, broad societal problems, right? Concerns about crime, concerns about people living on trains. These are things that are happening all over the city, and CTA is part of the city. That being said, running frequent buses and trains is squarely CTA's role. So, you know, that is one of these problems that really is kind of on them to solve.
Thank you. Sarah Freistadt is a business reporter covering transit for the Chicago Tribune. Big thank you to Sarah for coming on the show today. The wheels continue to turn these days when it comes to CTA news. After I spoke to Sarah, she reported that 20 out of the 50 alderpersons signed a non-binding resolution demanding that CTA president Dorval Carter lose his job, either by resignation or termination. The council members mentioned slow hiring, low ridership, and a lack of transparency as a few reasons Carter needs to go. The CTA responded by calling those claims, quote unquote, inaccurate and misleading. And we're always covering the CTA here at WBEZ and the Sun-Times. You can find more reporting from our colleagues, including data on how the CTA is performing in general these days. Amy Chin's story is at WBEZ.org or in the show notes for this episode. And that's it for today. Justin Bull, Sarah Stark, and I produce The Rundown. Ariel Van Cleve edits the show. Brendan Banizak is our executive producer. Special thanks to Natalie Moore for editing today's episode. Justin and I both engineered this episode. Our theme music is by Louis Weeks, and The Rundown is produced by WBEZ Chicago and is a part of the NPR network. And a shout out to Adorna Migade, Lisa Labiz, Lauren Frost, Emily Seiberg, and Katie O'Connell for their work on our morning and afternoon episodes. And one last big thank you shout out to our listener, William Delforge. He told us he wanted more transit conversations like this one. Thank you for the pitch, William. If you have something you want to hear on the show, send us an email at therundownpod@wbez.org. I'm Erin Allen. Happy Friday. Thank you for listening. I'll talk to you on Monday.